بصلي على محمد وآل محمد، يا لطيف ارحام عبدك الضعيف.
وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. تسبية الزهراء صلوات الله وسلامه عليها. تعقبات صلاة العشاء. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إنه ليس لي علم بموضع الرزق، وإنما أطلبه بخطرات تقطر على القلب، فأجول في طلبه البضان، فأنا فيما أنا طالب كالحيران. لا أدري أفي سهل هو أم في جبل، أم في أرض أم في السماء، أم في بر أم في بحر، وعلى يدي من ومن قبل من. وقد علمت أن علمه عندك وأسبابه بيدك، وأنت الذي تقسمه بلطفك وتسببه برحمتك. اللهم فصلي على محمد وآله، واجعل يا ربي رزقك لي واسعا، ومطلبه سهلا، ومأخذه قريبا، ولا تؤنني بطلب ما لم تقدر لي فيه رزقا، فإنك غني عن عذابي وأنا فقير إلا رحمتك. فصلي على محمد وآله، وجد على عبدك بفضلك، إنك ذو فضل عظيم. صلوات صلي على محمد وآل محمد.
Sometimes we don't, you know, we, but I think it's good to actually. We should do ziyarah. It's good.
السلام عليك يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومحفظ الوحي وخزان العلم ومنتهى الهلم وأصول الكرم وقادة الأمم وأولياء النعم وعناصر الأبرار ودعائم الأخيار وساسة العباد وأركان البلاد وأبواب الإيمان وأمناء الرحمن والسلالة النبيين وصفة المرسلين وإطرة آخرة رب العالمين ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا صاحب الأسر والزمان، السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن، أجر الله تعالى فرجه وسهل الله تعالى مخرجه، وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره، ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
تكبر الله. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, please help us get the prayer area cleaned up. If there are people that still need to pray, maybe come here towards the where the mihrab is, towards the front, because we're going to start getting set up for the program towards the front of the room here, inshallah.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. If I can ask the brothers to please start getting seated, we're going to get started in just 1 minute, inshallah.
صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we'll begin the program with just a short recitation of the Holy Quran. Please, if you can be seated, and inshallah, let's begin. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليالي العشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنه ذكراه يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do we have someone to come and recite the translation?
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. By the dawn, and by 10 nights, and by the even number and the odd, and by the night when it passes, is there not in all that an oath sufficient for one of perception? Have you not considered how your Lord dealt with Ad, with Iram, who had lofty pillars, the likes of whom had never been created in the land? And with Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley, and with the Pharaoh, owner of the stakes, all of whom oppressed within the lands and increased therein the corruption. So your Lord poured upon them a scourge of punishment. Indeed, your Lord is in observation. And as for man, when his Lord tries him and thus is generous to him and favors him, he says, "My Lord has honored me." But when he tries him and restricts his provision, he says, "My Lord has humiliated me." No, but you do not honor the orphan, and you do not encourage one another to feed the poor, and you consume inheritance, devouring it altogether. And you love wealth with immense love. No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded, and crushed, and your Lord has come, and the angels, rank upon rank, and brought within view, that day is hell. That day, man will remember, but what good to him will be the remembrance? He will say, "Oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life." And so, on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment. And none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers. To the righteous, it will be said, "Oh, reassured soul, return to your Lord, well-pleased and pleasing to him, and enter among my righteous servants, and enter my paradise." Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining us on these blessed nights to commemorate Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Please recite aloud, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, just a few announcements before we start the speech. Just beforehand, though, I would like to kindly ask everyone to move up. There's not much space in the back. Please move up. Let's try to get to the edge of the carpet, please. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ahsantum. Thank you. So, inshallah, just a few announcements before we start. Just to start off, I just want to mention the program. So we're going to have programs until August 10th, inshallah. We're going to start off with Salat al-Maghrib, followed by some Quran recitation, and then the speech by our dear Sayyid Ali Jafari. And then we'll have Al-Atmiya, Ziyarat Ashura, and then we'll finish off with food, inshallah. There are some sponsorships available if you would like to sponsor a night. There's currently 6 available slots. Please let myself or one of the other volunteers know if you would like to sponsor a night, inshallah, and we'll help you with that. Also, please do not forget to recite a Fatiha for tonight's sponsors. Also, there are some individuals from our community who are sick. Please keep them in your du'as and recite Surah Fatiha for them as well. If you have maybe a talent in reciting Latmiyat, please let myself or one or brother Rida Mansouri know, and maybe we could discuss with you if you would like to recite, inshallah. Also, coming up this Sunday, we have a women's program, and it's going to start at 11 a.m. The doors will open at 10:30, and it's going to be with the wife of Sayyid Jafari, Alima Iman Shaiwani, inshallah. That will be this Sunday. So if you would like to take advantage of that, please do, inshallah. And also, inshallah, tonight, as well as some of the other nights, so Friday through Sunday, and then Thursday through Sunday next weekend, there are going to be children's programs, inshallah, upstairs. So one of the sisters has graciously agreed to do some Islamic programs for the children. Please take advantage of that if you would like. They're ages 4 through 8, inshallah. And to finish off, I would like to introduce our dear speaker. Sayyid Ali Jafari was born in New York and he grew up in Michigan. He attended Michigan State University and the University of Texas School of Law. And he worked as a lawyer for 4 years. And then in 2013, he moved to the blessed city of Qom, where he studied in the Islamic Hausa there. And he moved with his family there as well. And he still lives there to this day. So please help me invite him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Before I begin, there's a request for a Surah Fatiha for Sister Batul Begum bint Sayyid Ashfaq Ali Khan. Please recite a Surah Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد brothers and sisters respected Sayyid Abbas السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم I begin by giving my sincerest condolences to the Imam of the time to all of the Maraji to all of our ulama to Sayyid Abbas and to you respected brothers and sisters on the tragedy that is the passing of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We are here to discuss the fall of the elite.
But before we do that, we have some preliminary points that we need to go over today, inshallah. So I'll start off with a story. Okay, a few years ago, I was returning from Qom back to the United States. And as I was preparing to board the airplane, I was going onto the jet bridge. Okay, do you guys know what the jet bridge is? Okay, it's that long hallway connecting the airport to the airplane. Okay, so I'm going onto the jet bridge with my family, and there's this elderly woman walking in front of me. And this woman, she walks about halfway down the jet bridge, and then she turns to an airport worker, and she says, "Excuse me, Bibakshi," she's talking in Farsi, she's like, "Do you know where I need to go from here?" You know, and the worker smiled at her, and she said, "You know, please, sister, you know, continue straight ahead." Right? And I chuckled to myself. Why? Because there was no other place to go, right? It's a straight hallway. There's nowhere else to go. You have no other options. There's no left, there's no right. There's only one way to go. But the more I reflected on that moment, the more I realized a lot of times that's how we are too. We're looking for a way to go through life. How is it that I can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it that I can get to heaven? How is it that I can get to closeness to the Ahlul Bayt of Abdullah al-Husayn? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Holy Quran that there's only one way to go. He says in Surah An-Kabut, verses 2 and 3, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتُنُونَ وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتُنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these beautiful verses, He says, does man think he's going to be left alone to say, I believe, and he's not going to be tried, he's not going to be tested? Then Allah says, no. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Certainly we have tested those who came before. And certainly we know who were the truthful ones, and certainly we know who were the liars. Okay, so brothers and sisters, before we get into the fall of the elite, we need to talk about a couple of preliminary points that we can take away from this verse, from these verses of the Holy Quran. If you send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The first point is that anyone who claims faith is going to be tested. Do you think that you're going to be able to say amanna wa hum la yuftanun and you're not going to be tested? No, Allah is saying that's not how it's going to go. Okay, so if you're in this room right now, if you're here for the month of Muharram, if you're here for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, just know you're going to be tested. Okay, Ayto Jawadi Amuli, may Allah preserve him and protect him, one point that he mentions that's really nice about this verse is that he says, look, a lot of times, practicing Muslims, religious people, they have this perception that, hey, look, I did everything right. I prayed on time. I was good to my parents. You know, I went to Hajj. I went to Ziyarah. I did all these things. I came to the masjid. I did everything right. Why is it that I didn't get the job? Why is it that I lost my child? Why is it that things just don't seem to be going my way? And what he says is that, look, this verse is telling us very clearly that don't think that there's this relationship between belief and not being tested. That says that if you have belief, if you're a good Muslim, if you're a practicing Muslim, that means you're not going to be tested. He said, no, that's not how it is. This verse is very clear. And in fact, when we look at our ahadith, it's the opposite. We look at our ahadith and we see the Holy Prophet says that أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ بَلَاعًا النَّبِيُّونَ. It says those who are going to be tested the most are the prophets. ثُمَّ أَوَسِيُّونَ. After that is the successors of the prophets. ثُمَّ أَمْثَلَ أَمْثَلَ فَأَمْثَلَ. And after that, those who are closest to them. Meaning that the higher that you progress spiritually, the more you will actually be tested, not the less. Okay. So brothers and sisters, when we see tests, don't look at it as, oh man, not me again, right? Why me again? I just lost my job. I lost my job again, right? COVID again for the 14th time, okay? All right, no. What we're saying is that these tests are spiritual ladders. They're opportunities from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is one of the reasons for the test. It's so that we can grow, so that we can progress, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see what we're all about. Okay? And I'm going to use a sports example here. Okay? And forgive me for this. But sometimes there's an athlete, okay? And we don't know how good he is. Okay? And I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm from Detroit, so I can use this example. Okay? We had a particular player on a Detroit team. We didn't know how good he was for 10 years. We talked about, is he this good? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think he can win the big one. Can he win? I don't know. Okay? What happened? He got put into a situation where he was tested. Right? He came to Los Angeles. And then we saw, okay, what he was. You see? If you're not put through those difficult tests, if Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not in Karbala, right, then we're not here. We can't celebrate and appreciate and commemorate and cry for him the same way, right? You have to go through those tests, right? And the second reason why we have these tests, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this sunnah of testing, is because, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we're ghafil, we're forgetful, we're negligent. Okay, in these next 10, 12 nights, I don't expect to see any of you sinning in this room. Why? Is it because all of us are masoom? Right? Do you expect me to be sinning up here? God forbid. No, why? Because we're cognizant. Number one, we're cognizant of each other, the mu'mineen and mu'minat. Number two, and most importantly, we're cognizant of Allah's presence. We're in the masjid. Right? But unfortunately, sometimes we're going through life, we're going through school, we're at work. Right? We lose track of things. We lose track of our priorities. And so we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget His presence. We forget that He's closer to us than our jugular veins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what? He puts us through a test. Okay, and I'm not going to go into the philosophy of testing more. Inshallah, my wife is going to do so in that session that was mentioned. But these are just some basic pointers that when we see a test, now we know from this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Surah An-Kabut, verse number two, He says, hey look, you're getting tested, period. Okay, prepare yourselves. Okay, so now we know, okay, everybody in this room is getting tested. Okay, that's the first thing we've established. Okay, the second thing we're going to establish here tonight is that when we look at this verse, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Okay, surely we have tested those who came before. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with some crazy Arabic grammar emphasis right here. Okay, so bear with me. He says, فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Okay, here we have a lam at the beginning of this verb, and then there's two noons, a noon thaqila. Okay, say the boss is with me, I don't know if I lost anybody else, right? But what it's saying is there's a lot of emphasis on this word, right? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually saying in English, if we looked at it, you know, in real terms, He's saying, and surely, 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 like for real, we're going to know who is truthful. I'm going to know who's truthful, and I'm going to for real know who's fake and who's just saying that they believe. Okay? So He's going to sift us, like the hadith of Imam Baqir tells us. Okay? Kadhab, right? Like gold. He's going to sift us. Okay, so this is what we see. Now He says, okay, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. He's saying that people were tested before. Okay, now I want to give you an example. Okay, we've all been there. Imagine you have, you know, I see my young people out here. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we get more and more young people out here. You know, we've all had that hard math test. Okay, for someone like me who doesn't like math, you know, it's harder than for maybe some of y'all. Okay, we all have that hard math test. Now, imagine, you know, you're in middle school, okay, elementary school. You're going in, you got to take this hard math test. And, you know, the class in front of you just took the same test. Okay, so alhamdulillah, the mu'mineen and mu'minat, we don't do this, but sometimes we might have seen this happen. Where as one class is coming out and the other class is going in, you know, some of the kids are like, hey man, how was the test? Right? Like, what was on the test? Okay? And some, you know, there's not enough time to sit down and explain everything. You gotta be like, it was serious. Okay? And now we're back in middle school, right? So we're like, you know, hey, you know, you don't want, the guy doesn't want to get in trouble for cheating. So he might just say something like, you might want to pay attention to the chapter on fractions. Okay? You might want to pay some extra attention to that chapter. Okay, now what happens? You go and you sit down, or this individual goes and sits down. If he sits down for the next 10 minutes before the teacher comes in and is, you know, scrolling on his phone, you know, is daydreaming and thinking about recess,
is the fact that his friend failed the test, the fact that his friend failed the test, is that going to benefit him at all? No. What has to happen is he has to take lesson, take heed from that test, from that failure, and he has to act. You see, simply knowing that وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested people before us and that they failed the test, or that there were these elite people who were the best of the best Muslims in their time and that they slipped and they had a spiritual fall, simply knowing that fact in and of itself is not going to help you and I. Right? If that's all we gain from these sessions, then we haven't accomplished what we came here to accomplish, which was to join the caravan of Imam Hussein, which was to become one with Abu Abdullah, which was become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to take lessons. Okay? And so this takes me to the second and last point when it comes to testing. Excuse me, the last point when it comes to testing, which is that, brothers and sisters, the more serious a test is, the more preparation it requires. Okay? So imagine, again, if you had this third grader, second grader, you know, one of our children or one of you all, okay? You got a spelling test. Are we going to expect this individual to pull an all-nighter, you know, and be sweating it out? Like, you know, I got to get this spelling test. No. We're going to say, hey, man, go play. Just relax. It's okay. Alhamdulillah. But the more serious the test becomes, we see we spend more time on it. We spend more time preparing. Right? So you have a standardized test for trade school, professional school. You see, you spend months. Right, you might even take practice tests. I remember when I took, you know, the exam to get into law school, I already knew what I was going to get before I took the exam. Why? Because I had taken so many practice exams. I kept getting the same thing. I was like, okay, let's go and do it at the seat. You see, when you take account of yourself first, right, then the accounting on the other side, you already know how it's going to look. There's no surprises, right? And this is what the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. When he says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا, right? He says, take account of yourselves before you're taken account of. So when we look, brothers and sisters, at other people, I want to get one thing very clear tonight, is that when we look at the lives of other people, people who are respected by many of the Muslims, people who were respected by the Holy Prophet, by Imam Ali, people who were very close, right? People who, let's say, were companions of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. When we look at these individuals in their lives, number one, we're looking at them for ourselves. We're not looking at them to pass judgment on someone else. We're looking at it so that we can make sure that we don't have similar slips, right? When our tests come. The second thing that's important to mention is that when we look at the elite and we look at their falls, we're saying that they had a spiritual fall. But does that mean that we're necessarily saying that we know what their end was? Right? No, of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Someone who lifted a finger for the Holy Prophet, who raised a sword for the Holy Prophet, right? Unless we have something very clear from the Imams, from the A'immah, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling us that, hey look, this person's end was not a good end, right? Then we simply say, look, what we see here were problems. This person went against Imam Ali, this person went against Imam Hassan, so on and so forth. But beyond that, Allahu A'lam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, so these were some preliminary points I wanted to mention on the topic of testing. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Wajilfa. Okay, so now we're going to be talking about history. Okay, we're going to be looking at history. Now, what we need to get straightened out is how do we look at history, right? Before delving into a topic and me just coming up here and starting to talk about so-and-so individual and this and that and so on and so forth, and let's take lessons. How do we need to think, okay? And, you know, we're out here in Los Angeles, you know, where a lot of times, you know, Hollywood is pushing fairy tales, okay? They're pushing fairy tales. We don't want to be pushing fairy tales, right? One of our great Maraji, he said, you know, I just heard a clip today. He said the minbar of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is to clarify and tell the truth. Right? I'm not up here to tell you guys fairy tales. We've heard fairy tales our whole life. Okay? We're up here to figure out what's the truth. Right? We're trying to figure out what the truth is and act on the truth. But unfortunately, when we look at history, sometimes we look at it like fairy tales. So I have a two-year-old son. Inshallah, he'll be joining us, you know, once his sleep schedule catches up to the West Coast, you know, time zone. But my son, Ali Qasim, he picked up this new thing, and I'm not really fond of it, but I want to mention it here, you know. But don't say anything to him. You'll see why in a second, okay? He picks up this new thing where he starts calling people bad guys, okay? So, like, today, you know, he's, like, pointing to the Chips Ahoy, and he's like, you know, let me get one of those, you know? And I'm like, you know, hey, you know, we have to eat our food. You know, Ibrahim, you know, hooked up, these brothers, they all hooked up, alhamdulillah, all this food in the house and took care of us. And so, you know, I said, we got to eat the food first, you know, Chips Ahoy, we'll think about it later. And he's like, Baba's a bad guy. And he doesn't mean it, you know. A few seconds later, I'll give him his car, I'll play with him, we'll play football. He'll say, okay, no, you know, good guy, right? So don't go and ask him, you know, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy, right? We're trying to get him out of this, right? Well, why are we trying to get him out of it? And why am I trying to get you and I out of it? Because, brothers and sisters, looking at history this way doesn't benefit us. Right? This is not fairy tales. These were real people who lived real lives, who had to make real decisions, really hard decisions. And unless we appreciate that aspect of them, unless we delve deep into their life and appreciate who they were, what they were about, how close they were, let's say, to the Ahlul Bayt, we're not going to be able to appreciate the fall. We're not going to be able to learn from the fall. All right, so let's say, for example, you know, tomorrow we're going to talk about Zubair. Okay, if we just say Zubair, you know, bad guy. You know, he raised an army against Imam Ali, the Battle of Jamal. No, we've lost the plot. We've missed the boat. Right? We've lost a huge opportunity to learn from someone who, at one point, Imam Ali alayhi salam called him Minna Ahlul Bayt. He's from amongst us, the Ahlul Bayt. The same way the Prophet said about Salman Farsi. Okay, so what happened? So we're going to talk about tomorrow. Right? But we have to be able to see people in a real light. And just to drive this point home, I will mention two statements of our great ulama. If you send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So first is Shaheed Muhammad Baqir Asad. Okay. This brilliant scholar and Shaheed from Iraq, the land of the Shuhada. Someone who, you know, his brilliance, I think I better appreciate it after, you know, studying his works in the Hawza. This is somebody who passed away in his early 40s, was killed in his early 40s in the early 80s, I believe. And one thing you appreciate about him and his genius is that even if you disagree, let's say, with a particular perspective he has on a particular issue, you always know exactly where you disagree because he's so clear in how he speaks. And this is one of the characteristics that the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen that we should have, that we should be clear in our speech. If somebody disagrees with us, it's okay, right? But we should be clear with how we're propagating the deen, with how we're getting across the message of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and of the Holy Quran. So what did Shaheed Sadr say? He said, look, we are all very quick to criticize and, you know, write off, you know, the struggles of certain individuals. And he mentions Harun al-Rashid, the one who was responsible for the Shahada and the martyrdom of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, our seventh Imam. He says, be careful. He says, Harun al-Rashid killed his Imam, right? This was somebody who was debating, they say, him and his son Ma'mun. They used to debate people about the wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam, proving that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the wali, okay, after Rasulullah. He said, this was somebody who, according to some, you know, assassinated and killed his imam for the dunya. But he said, be careful. Why? Because you haven't been offered the dunya of Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid failed his test with the dunya he was offered. But am I failing the test with the dunya that I'm offered? I just haven't been offered a bigger dunya yet. Yet, right? Inshallah, Allah doesn't test us in that way. Right? He only tests us, inshallah, with what He prepares us for. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah says He only gives us the trials and the tests that we can handle. Right? We have the capacity to handle it. Right? But we have to make that choice. So this is the statement of Shahid Sadr. The second statement I want to mention, just again to nail home the point, drive home the point in all of our minds before we just jump into history, that this is not a fairy tale. We got to look at it seriously. This is from Ayatul Bahjat. May Allah elevate his rank. One of our great scholars, studied in Najaf, studied in Qom. He was a mujtahid, a jurist. He was a arif, a Gnostic, well, you know, all arounder. What does Ayatul Bahjat says? He says, it's not as if Yazid and Muawiyah came from hellfire and you and I came from heaven. Right? Panah bar Khuda. He says, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were real people who made real decisions. Okay? And we have to look at them in a real way. And that's why, you know, in the next few nights, don't think, man, Ali, he's going into too many details on this individual's life. No. We're going into details on their life with a purpose so that we can appreciate them. You know, sometimes I say, you know, about tomorrow's majlis, there's no need for a musibatian after we hear the story of Zubair, for example. You know, once we really appreciate who he was and what happened, in and of itself, the tragedy brings one to tears. So this is how we need to look at history. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam, he drives home to us in Nahjul Balagha, in letter 31, he says, how does he look at history? He says, he's telling his children, he says, look, you know, I've lived a good life, but I've been able to learn and grasp more than my years. How? He says, فَقَدْ نَذَرْتُ فِي أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَفَكَّرْتُ فِي أَخْبَارِهِمْ وَسِرْتُ فِي أَثَارِهِمْ حَتَّى عُدْتُ كَأَهْدِهِمْ. He says, these people who came before us, I looked at their actions. I looked at what they did. I thought it over, what they did. I paid attention to what they left behind. Till when? Until it was as if I was one of them. Okay, so that's what we want to do. Right? I want to paint a picture. We want to paint a picture so that we are right there. And we have to make the decisions. So that when it's our turn, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we can take away the lessons from the fall of the elite. Send me a salawat on Muhammad wa ala. We are here and we didn't need an invitation. Because, brothers and sisters, we don't need an invitation to come to the commemoration of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Right? Our hearts bring us here. Our love brings us here. When we look at the words and the emphasis in the words of our Ahlul Bayt about the month of Muharram, about remembering Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, it's surprising at times. You know, we see Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that if you cry a tear the size of a fly's wing for Imam Hussein, the size of a fly's wing, you will be forgiven for all of your sins, inshallah. This tear with ma'rifah, this tear with recognition. We have another hadith that says, even if those sins are the size of the ocean, if they could fill the ocean. Brothers and sisters, we're coming here with our hands empty. You know, I talk about myself, all of what I'm talking about in these nights, first and foremost, reminders for myself. Allah knows I need it more than anyone in this room. You know, my teacher Sayyid Abbas, who's here, I think the last time we spoke with each other, we were sitting in a park in Qom, and he was advising me about the importance of going for propagation and for the propagation of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. And, you know, because he's a man who acts on his words, alhamdulillah, he also provided the opportunity for me to be here. I know that I'm not deserving of this opportunity. Many of you are more deserving of this than me. There's more knowledgeable people in this room than me. But I couldn't pass it up because of what an honor it is for me to sit here. Right? None of us, we can't make on one another cry. It's Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It's his ikhlas. It's his pure blood. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes somebody cry. Right? So brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity. And it's because of how Abu Abdullah al-Hussein handled these tests that he became this example for us. We're talking about tests. We're talking about the fall of the elite. Right? But Karbala was also the rise of the elite. We see that it was an opportunity for Habibs to become Habibs, for Hur to become Hur, for Ali and Akbar to be Ali Akbar. Okay? For Imam al-Hussein to become Imam al-Hussein. They say that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he once mentioned to Imam Hussein what his end was going to be, that he was going to become shaheed at the hands of X, Y, and Z. They say that Imam Hussein asked one simple question. And if you don't remember anything, or you're not able to appreciate anything that's said in these next few weeks, just remember this. What was Imam Hussein's answer? He said, when this happens, when I'm surrounded by the enemies, when I'm alone, am I still on the path? Do I still have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Ali said, yes. Imam Hussein said, that's enough for me. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, imagine if we went through our lives, whatever comes our way, go through family problems, lose our job, cancer, whatever problems, difficulties we're facing, difficulties with our children, with our spouses, with our parents, whatever it is, if we just repeated these words of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that's enough for me. Am I on the path still though? Did I make it through this test on the path? Alhamdulillah. That's enough for us. Brothers and sisters, this is an opportunity. Not everyone makes it here. All of us have committed mistakes. The speaker more than anyone. Okay? But tonight, on this very night, on the first night of Muharram, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a second chance. Gave us a 10th chance. Gave someone like me a 500th chance. Right? But we don't know if we're going to get another chance. That's what we're going to learn when we look at the fall of the elite. That you don't know when it's your last chance. You can't afford to expect that you have another day left. Imam Ali said, the one who thinks tomorrow is counted amongst his lifespan, he hasn't given death حق قدره. It's due right, it's due respect. Right? Death is a pop quiz. It's coming for you, it's coming for me. Okay, so this is our opportunity. Right? And it's these tears for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein that can wash away our sins. And brothers and sisters, this is why this spiritual station that Imam Hussein reached, this is why we see that from the beginning of time until today, the greats of the great, the best of the best, have been remembering Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Right? We see in our hadith, Nabi Adam, alayhi salam, when he was begging for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him attention, to give him more attention again. We see Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salam, when he's being hurled towards the fire. We see Musa, alayhi salam, when he first meets Khidr, alayhi salam. We see in so many of circumstances, Prophet Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. So many circumstances we have where the remembrance of Imam Hussein is present. And that's why we are proud to be of those who come here and we cry for Hussein. Because we're following the sunnah of the best of the best. We're following the sunnah of the prophets. We're following the sunnah of the greatest of prophets, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi. brothers and sisters, let's take a minute to remember this prophet of ours, to remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A prophet who said about himself, "Ma udhiya nabiyyun mithla udhitu." He says, "No prophet has been tormented more than I." SubhanAllah. Let's think about, what did our prophet go through? Let's think about our holy prophet tonight. Let's take our hearts to Medina. 6 years old, he lost his mother. He never even got to know his father. I have a 6-year-old son. I know how much he depends on me. Right? If I go for tabligh for a few days, he's upset. Right? Let alone someone at age of 6 losing their father, losing their mother. And what times did you grow up in? If we think we growing up in difficult times, brothers and sisters, an era where he saw with his own eyes, right? Slavery, where he saw with his own eyes innocent babies buried alive, where he saw with his own eyes how the poor were treated, how the least amongst us were treated, and how that burned him up, right? I remember once I was in a prison in Texas with a brother who I felt like was innocent of a crime. He was in prison for murder. I had studied his case. I felt like he was innocent of a crime. He was in there for 19 years. I remember seeing the tears coming down his cheek at just the thought that I believed in him. Brothers and sisters, look at how much oppression we're surrounded by in this world, right? The Holy Prophet was seeing all this oppression. If we think this is bothering us, how do you think it made him feel, right? Now, as he grows and he's tasked with this tremendous responsibility, he's alone. He's being called crazy. He's being mocked. He's being ridiculed. He was a human like you and I. He was being tortured. Rocks were coming at him as he walked through the streets of Mecca. Blood was coming from his forehead. Garbage was being thrown on him. He was praying by the side of the Kaaba. People came and they dumped raw meat on him. Ya Abdullah. For what? So he could bring them the Quran? Because he was trying to bring them the Quran? Because he was trying to teach them about who they were, about who their Lord was? He was exiled for 3 years. They wouldn't marry his family. They wouldn't sell him anything. He lost his wife. He lost his uncle. But all of this, brothers and sisters, he was able to withstand. He was able to go through these tests and trials. Because he understood what is a test, what is a trial. And he did it gladly. And he did it, and he knew he was successful. Because at the end of it all, brothers and sisters, we had one Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because if nothing else for Rasulullah, having done tarbiyah of one Ali ibn Abi Talib was worth it. See, brothers and sisters, now we start to understand the pain of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we think about the love he had for his daughter Fatima al-Zahra, Umm Abiha. He first called her Umm Abiha because one of these kuffar, one of these enemies of Allah came and they dumped some of this garbage on the Holy Prophet. And he came home. And we see that the lady Fatima, she was there with clean clothes to console him. And this is when he said Umm Abiha. Brothers and sisters, Let's take our hearts to Medina. Let's take our heart to the door of Fatima al-Zahra. Imagine being the Holy Messenger. Seeing that scene. Imagine being the Holy Messenger. Seeing Imam Ali being dragged out of that house. Imagine being the Holy Messenger. Witnessing what we're going to be speaking about in the next few nights, where some of the Ummah raised their swords against Ali ibn Abi Talib. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Prophet had a special relationship with his grandchildren. Once they say that Imam al-Hussein was in the lap of the Holy Prophet, when Jibril came down and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, do you love this child?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Know that your ummah is going to martyr him, is going to kill him by the Euphrates River." فَحَزَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حُزْنًا شَدِيدًا. Says the Holy Prophet became extremely sad. He cried for Imam Hussein. Brothers and sisters, these tears that we will shed, inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, these are us following the footsteps of Rasulullah. But what can we say to Rasulullah on a night like tonight? We say, "Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habibullah, we weren't there for you when they broke your teeth. We weren't there for you, Ya Rasulullah, when they wouldn't give you the pen and the paper on your deathbed. We weren't there for you, Ya Rasulullah, when you were having to be helped to the masjid because they wouldn't leave the city. We weren't there for your children, Ya Rasulullah. We weren't there at the door of Fatima. We wish we were there. We weren't there. We weren't there to defend Imam Ali alayhi salam. We weren't there when they were pulling out the janamas, the musalla, from underneath Imam al-Hasan. We weren't there when they were shooting arrows at his body. And we weren't on the plains of Karbala. We weren't there when your beloved Hussein was alone, asking, "Is there anyone to help me?" But we're here tonight. And we're here these nights. And we're here to say that, "Ya Rasulullah, we're here for your son. And we will be here for your son." Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he says the following about the month of Muharram. He says, "Inna Muharrama huwa shahru alladhi kana ahlu al-jahiliyya fima madha yuharrimuna fihi. Fihi dhulm wal-qital lihurmati." He says that during the age of ignorance, those ignorant people, they would not battle, they will not fight, they will not oppress others during the month of Muharram because of its sacredness, because they knew that in the prior times, under the prior prophets, for example, it was a sacred month. In the prior cultures, it was a sacred month, so they respected that sacredness. فَمَا عَرَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ حُرْمَةَ شَهْرِهَا. He says, but this ummah, Imam Radha says, this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't even respect the hurma of this month. وَلَا حُرْمَةَ نَبِيهَا. And they didn't respect the hurma and the respect of the Holy Prophet. And then he tells us, brothers and sisters, إن كنت باكيا لشيء فابكي للحسين. If you're gonna cry for something, then cry for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. فإنه ذبح كما يض كما يذبح الكبش. Because he was killed the way that they would kill an animal. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Bik Ya Allah, bi Muhammadin, bi Ali, bi Fatima, bi Hassan, bi Hussein. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to forgive our parents, to forgive our teachers, to forgive everyone in this gathering of their sins. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn to allow us to be of those who pass the tests that you put before us. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and to make us his helpers when he comes. Wa akhir da'wan anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. Everyone together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاده. Once again, Muharram has arrived and I remember with the earth and sky the one killed while his lips were dry. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Tragedy strikes once again. Every year this wound opens and we weep with our hearts broken. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Kufa sends letters and invites nations, promises that were broken, empty words that were spoken, Your Hussein, Kufan Zuhur, abandoned Muslim and left him, prayed behind him and then sold him, pledged allegiance and killed him, Your Hussein, I can hear a voice calling, but too late. Muslims' killers will not wait. His message won't leave the gate, Your Hussein. Do not come here, I beg you. If you come, they will kill you. Think of Zainab after you, Your Hussein.
Let's stand for a little moment.
I hear the voice of Zahra. الحسين وويلا The month of sorrow started. Hussein heads towards Kufa, but he'll stop in Karbala without access to water upon the thirsty lips of Hussein Salam. Upon the thirsty lips of Hussein Salam, from the servant to the master, As-Salam. Upon the thirsty lips of Hussein Salam, from the servant to the master, As-Salam. As-Salamu ala dima'i sa'ilat. The ship of salvation lays in a pool of blood. As-Salamu ala shifahi dhabilat. Your lips were thirsty and cracked and covered in blood. Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Bara hazay jaddash, muntaqim sarullah. پیران سیامی پوشه قسم به عشق روزه خون عبا عبدالله هنوز داره می جوشه بر عشق اولاد پیغمبر سلام بر عشق اولاد پیغمبر سلام از نوکر بر ارباب بی سر سلام السلام علی النسوت البارزات همه میافتن کنار خیمه ها به پاد السلام علی الجسوم شاهبات رمق نداری دیگه نمیرسه صدات حسین 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 tonight امام المهدی crying for his grandfather recites poems of mourning I swear by the tears that flow in the sorrow for Hussein He cries from night till morning upon the streaming tears of Mahdi Salam. Upon the streaming tears of Mahdi Salam. From the servant to the master, As-salam. As-salamu ala khamis ahl al-kisa. The verse of purity was revealed about you. As-salamu ala al-murammil bid-dima. Covered in your blood on the sands they left you. Hussein, 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 Hussein. إذا السماء انشقت بساعتی که مادر اومد به استقبالت فلک گریبان شاکه که خون تو آغشته است به تربت گداله بر بوسه های روی هنجر سلام بر بوسه های روی هنجر سلام از نوکر بر ارباب بی سر سلام السلام علی القتیل العبرات به عشق زینب میباره عشقای چشات السلام على الأجساد العاريات حتى نزاشتن لباس كهنة رو براد حسين 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 يا رب الحسين بحق الحسين اشف صدر الحسين بظهور الحجة يا رب الحجة بحق الحجة اشف صدر الحجة بظهور الحجة صلوات
توجه الزيارة توجه الزيارة please face the قبلة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثار والوتر الموتور أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلت ولعن الله أمة ظلمت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أن أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي والزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن بشرائع ديني وخواتيم عملي وقلبي لقلبكم سلم وأمري لأمركم متبع صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم
وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غالبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم بأبي أنت وأمي ابن رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض فلعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتهيأت لقتالك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله قصدت حرمك أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عندك وبالمحل الذي لك لدي أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد وأن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين دعاء الفرج إن شاء الله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والأموات الحاضرين والحاضرات ومن مات على الإيمان رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلاة.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. May Allah accept your tears inshallah on this night. Thank you again for the Sayyid for your beautiful speech and thank you all for joining us tonight. Inshallah, please be seated and the volunteers will bring you food inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Okay. And also just one last thing. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I also like to mention, if anyone needs to leave, there are to-go boxes. If not, please grab a plate. And also, don't forget to recite Fatiha for the marhumin of the program, inshallah.